Welcome to the Houston Indie Media Show. Tonight we're going to play excerpts from Wednesday night's When Pussy Grabs Back stand-up comedy show and fundraiser. This event raised funds to help people get to D.C. for the Women's March on Washington on January 21st. We've posted the raw audio online on our Facebook page, our SoundCloud page, and on radioforall.net.
Your next comic coming to the stage, let me tell you how old I am. She met me when I was teaching defensive driving for the state of Texas, which I taught for 10 years. She was in high school at the time. I'm not even lying. Like, she was in high school. And now she teaches high school. So please, give a round of applause for one of the funniest women that have come up in a long, long time, Miss Dusty Rhodes.
For coming out and supporting, it's such a cool thing. I was excited to be asked to do it. I try not to be political in a lot of things, just in my normal life, because I'm a teacher and just regular. But then, like, sometimes I read Facebook. I have a few conservative white friends, because I like free brunch every now and then. And there's this article a lot of them were posting, and one of the main kind of themes running through the article was like, oh, just trust America. Give Trump a chance. What's the worst that could happen? What's the worst that could happen? And if it doesn't work out, we can just vote for someone else in 4 years. What's the worst that could happen? I feel like whenever they say, what's the worst that could happen, when they imagine the worst thing happening, what they're envisioning in their minds is just that montage of when people drop shit in infomercials. Like, that's what they're seeing. What's the worst that can happen? Ugh, I guess I'll just vote for stackable Tupperware in 4 years. It'll be okay. It'll be okay. Yeah. Or not. I am a lady, as you can see. I try to carry myself as a lady. I try to think of myself as responsible. You know, I have a job. I'm a teacher. I own my own car. I pay my rent on time. I feel like all that just comes to a crumble, though, the minute I open up my purse and pull out, like, $1 bills that are all crumbled and look like I'm a five-year-old that doesn't understand how currency works. I was like, what do I need to give you? I don't know. I'm just usually using a card. And they're like, see, this is why they're not ready. It all goes to shame. I became an adult recently. I got a second set of bed sheets for Christmas. Yeah. It's a great feeling, you know, when you're washing your sheets and you don't have to live in that moment as long where you take your sheets off and have to stare at all the stains on your mattress and wonder where your life is going because you used to live with a cat that peed on stuff. You just cover it up right away. You're like, I'm a grown-up. Guys come over. I'm like, we can do whatever we want with these sheets. Whatever we want to do on them, it's fine. Because I can just put on a new for the new sheets that come tomorrow. But if you want to be helpful and leave $2.25 on the dresser, that'd be great for future weeks. I am a teacher, so responsible. Just let's keep that in mind. Let that be the theme. I teach high school. I love it. I'm starting to teach my kids Medea, the Greek tragedy, not Tyler Perry. So sorry if you were excited for a second. Teach my kids Medea. It's a great play. There's a moment in Medea, however, where Medea and her husband of Argonaut fame, if you're a reader, they get into an argument and her husband says, ugh, women, we should have a better way of making children. A lot of my female students get upset by this. They're like, Miss Rhodes, can you believe he would say that? That women shouldn't be a part of making children? And I'm always like, I don't know, I think I'd be down. That sounds pretty sweet. Do you have copper in your vagina, young Sarah? No? Well, it's uncomfortable for a while and odd to talk about. So, maybe I would like that. You can just have at it. You keep it, Jason. People always are like, oh my God, you teach high school? It's the worst. Kids are such dicks. And I'm like, no, kids are actually pretty cool. I actually like teaching kids. The worst thing about teaching kids is dealing with their parents. Sometimes when people tell me that they're like, I have a kid in high school, I'm like, I know you're an asshole. And it's not their fault, because most of the time those parents are probably pretty cool, but the ones I deal with on a regular basis, not so much. Because they complain about the dumbest stuff. Like, it's never actual things that mattered they complain about. My kids were reading this book. And in the fourth chapter of the book, the protagonist, main character, if you need a review, the protagonist is masturbating. And this mother called me, and she's very upset by this. She was like, Miss Rhodes, I was reading the book that you gave them with Tyler. And we got to chapter 4, and I don't know if he's ready for the content. Like, your son's in high school. He's masturbating right now. She's like, Miss Rhodes, maybe you think Tyler's like most students, but I don't think they have, like, he just came again. Yeah, that's what happened, because you're finally out of the room, and he's trying to get it all out before you come in for more story time. But I do love my job. Like how somebody just goes, wow, well, you deal with that phone call and how you would talk about it. I didn't actually say those things. Sometimes being a teacher is difficult, because you have like days just like you are when you're like, it's any job. I love my job, but it's a job just like it's any other job. Sometimes you're just frustrated, you're sick, whatever's happening. Sometimes you have kids just walk in your room, because it's like every 30 minutes I have just a new crop of kids just running into my room. And I love them, but at the same time, it's like, I see them every day, so we develop a relationship and you start to feel comfortable. One time I had a girl come in my room, she was crying. And this was a girl who every time there was something, you know, big, there was a project due, a major test, something horrible had happened to her. Like her dog had died, or her bus exploded, or her seventh grandma was in the hospital, whatever. She walks in the class crying and she's like, hey, Miss Rhodes. And I'm like, what's up, Ashley? How's it going? You seem really upset. Are you ready for the test today? Did you read the book? She's like, Miss Rhodes, I know that you gave us 6 weeks to read the book, and I was almost done with it last night, and then I found out my homeboy died, so I didn't finish. And I was like, oh my God, Ashley, I'm sorry. Did your homeboy not know you had 6 weeks to read the book? It's terrible. They're not going to mention that in the eulogy. I want to say I didn't say that, but that's not the truth. I will say that unlike this audience, I had a group of kids in the background who was like, damn, Miss Rhodes, wrecked! So I felt a lot more confident about that decision at the time, is what I'm trying to say. It was a good job on me. Kids ask me things that are just like inappropriate, where I'm like, you should not ask that to your teacher person. One time I had a kid in the middle of class just raising hand. He's like, Miss Rhodes, you like to smoke that Reggie? Smoke that Reggie, Miss Rhodes? For those of you who don't know, Reggie is affordable marijuana. Yeah, let's say it that way. The cheap stuff. But I can't know that to their face, right? So when he's like, Miss Rhodes, you like to smoke that Reggie? I have to say, who's Reggie? He sounds fun. The way he's smoking him, is he a ham? Because if I say, no, I don't smoke the Reggie, then they're like, oh, Miss Rhodes likes to smoke that good shit. I told you Miss Rhodes is down. Miss Rhodes is legit. And I have to call them outside, sit them down, have this very honest and awkward conversation where I'm like, hey, look, I do like to smoke that good shit. And I graduated from high school went to college, got a job that pays well, so I can afford it. You didn't do your homework. And that's why you're still smoking the Reggie. You gotta reach them on a level that matters to them, because otherwise they just don't care.
Because even religious people don't like it when you talk back to them. They don't like it when they throw their terms at you and you throw those terms right the f*** back at them. They get very upset with that. Don't they take to tell you they're going to hell as if they can dictate direction. And I hate those people. Because they're abusing a document that is very precious to me. So I'll throw it right back at them in the most ugliest fashion I could possibly find. The last time I had somebody in Walmart tell me I was going to hell. I turned around and looked at him and said, you know, here in Walmart in the United States of America, you find everything in one store. You know what's interesting? Is any other country you go into the United States or outside of the United States, you can't find everything in one store. For example, in France, if you want bread, you have to go to a bread shop. If you want wine, you have to go to a wine shop. If you want a corkscrew or a wine tool, though, here's where it gets weird. You have to go to a hardware store. How f***ed up is that? I would never find a nail. Where would I have to go? Church. Country has to offer. Please give up for one of my favorite people in the entire world, Miss Kristen Lenner.
And everybody, give Betsy a round of applause for keeping us all liquored up.
Yeah,
yeah, this is awesome. I'm irritated. This is kind of just a PSA. I don't really have a joke, but I'm irritated. I was on my way here, and you guys, please don't text and drive. It's important. It's annoying. It's dangerous. I was behind this chick, and she was so busy on her phone, she wasn't paying any attention to the road in front of her. And I noticed that the truck immediately in front of her was slamming on his brakes. And I was like, oh, great, we're all going to die because she's not paying any attention. So she finally looks up. She has to slam on her brakes, like skids on the road, doesn't actually hit the truck. I have to slam on my brakes now to try and avoid hitting her. And thank God nobody hit anybody. The only bad thing that happened was that I accidentally stabbed myself in the eye with my mascara wand. I know, I was so irritated. I wasn't going to wear smoky eye makeup, but this decided. So don't text and drive, you guys. I do worry about us, though, you guys. I really think that we're all addicted to technology. I think that everyone is so addicted to being on their phones, and I see you right there, being on your phones and everything. I really think in our lifetimes, we're going to have to go to, like, an ATM machine for the doctor. Like, you won't see a doctor person. You'll just go to the machine for diagnosis. Like, you swipe your insurance card, you swipe your debit card, you stick your finger in for pulse readings. Thank you for using the automated doctor. Please enter the symptoms that you believe you have. Okay, see, I got blurred vision. I can't see out of my right eye. And I have fainting spells. Thank you, the automated doctor has looked at your symptoms and determined that you either have glaucoma or diabetes. Please press 1 if you believe you have glaucoma. Please press 2 if you believe you have diabetes. You have chosen diabetes. You do not have the funds for diabetes. Please press 1 if you now believe you have glaucoma. Oh, thank the system works, you guys. My receipt says I have scabies and kennel cough. Hi, are married. Yeah, we've been married for 23 years. We decided to just be friends. That's where we're at. I mean, with benefits, obviously, like 401k and medical and dental. He's actually a really smart guy. He's really sweet. He's super smart. Very intelligent. Yeah, really smart guy. super intelligent. Sorry, I have to keep reminding myself because he says stupid to me all the time. My favorite thing he ever said to me was, I came home from working at a comedy club. It was pretty late at night. I was getting ready for bed. I was checking myself out in the mirror. I said, you know, honey, for three kids, we did pretty good. I have just one stretch mark right here on my thigh. He said, have you seen your ass? Right? I said, yeah, I'm looking right at him. Sure, so I... Sure enough, I look, and there's a whole bunch of white lines on the back of my hiney. It looks like a road map. It's an atlas, if you will. I told him to go to hell, and then I showed him how to get there. You see this pimple? You are here. You're going to want to avoid the loop. Now, before I met my husband, though, I was in a relationship that I thought was the one. I thought we were going to get married and have babies. Like, I was in love with this guy. I really thought I was in love with this guy. Until I saw him barefoot for the first time. Yeah, he was missing the baby toes on both of his feet. He had 8 toes. And I broke up with him right there at the swim party. I know, yeah. You know what? My friends were all mean to me, too. Yeah, I get it. They were all like, Kristen, I had no idea you were so shallow. I said, I prefer the term lactose intolerant. Oh. I can't have babies with him. I mean, I don't know. We might get discounts on pedicures, maybe. I don't know. But... No, I the big news in my house right now is that my mother-in-law has recently moved in with us, my husband's mother, which was completely terrifying for me because she's never liked me. She's made me very clear that she's not a fan of mine, and I was so worried about it for weeks leading up to it, and it's actually been okay. She's been pretty quiet. She's mostly stayed in her urn and left us alone. Some of y'all turned on me right there. It's a joke, you guys. Come on. I'm kidding. It's a comedy show. It's a joke. Don't get mad at me. We couldn't afford an urn. She's actually in a box. In a crushed velvet bag. That says Crown Royal on it. We wanted Grandma to feel at home. It is actually true. All of it is true. And my favorite part of that story is that she really did not like me. And the reason she didn't like me is because I'm a terrible housekeeper. My house is always dusty and dirty. And now she's part of the f***ing problem. No, you're right. That's a terrible joke. I apologize. That is so mean. So mean-spirited. I don't mean to be like that. Oh, good times. Yeah, I am, I have 3 kids. I haven't mentioned that. I have 3 daughters. I have 3 teenage daughters. Yeah, my life sucks hardcore. This is why I drink. Those bitches. Yeah. I wish I could go back to my own past, you know, like a Back to the Future kind of thing. I would go back and I would talk to myself before I had all these kids, and I'd be like, Kristen, come here. Listen to me. I'm going to put this in terms. You're going to understand, you little drunkard. All right, having kids is like taking shots of liquor. Yeah, you got to know when to quit, because there's a very fine line between, oh my gosh, I'm having a great time, and I think that last one f***ed me up. I don't feel good at all. Who gave me that one? I didn't. I didn't need another one. My youngest, I think my youngest is part of that equation. I think that's she's all kinds of messed up. I don't know. She's got this problem. She doesn't know when to shut up. If it occurs in the brain, it flops right at her mouth. Like, that's just how she is. She just, yeah, she's a teenager. And she's just like, at Thanksgiving, I made both peas and corn, because some people in my family like peas, some like corn, so I had both available. My youngest likes both, so she had both on her plate. Then she mixed them together and proudly told everybody at the Thanksgiving dinner, hey, you guys, look, I made corn. was like, thank you, baby, that's awesome. It is rare for a mother to see your child's first porn, so this is a big deal for me. And she's in eighth grade. Yeah, exactly. Oh. She has her first crush on a boy. Very exciting stuff, because she didn't tell me. I found out on Facebook, because I'm stalking her. But, crush on a boy. His name, and I'm not making this up, this kid's name in the eighth grade, this kid's name that she has a crush on is Steel Valentine. Holy s***, right? My daughter found the only eighth grade porn star in the world. I didn't even know they went to regular school. That's amazing. I thought there was a special school in California where porn stars went. I actually got to meet him. I went to take her to school one day. Steele happened to be standing there. So I started chatting with Steele to make sure he's cool. Like, I'm vetting him, kind of, right? She did not see it that way. She was so pissed at me. She was like I was messing with her man or something. I was like, okay, you need to chill. Yeah, seriously. He's a little young for me. Yeah. Seriously. Like, 3-4 years at least. That's a joke. I do at least like them legal. But I have gotten to an age, I don't know when it happens, but I guess you just flip a switch at some point. You reach an age over 40 at some point where you're like, holy shit, look at these cute little 25-year-old boys. I don't even know what I would do if I caught one, but I could just display him in my house. I think that's how I'm going to make it. I know he's 25. His name is Xander, isn't it? Rah, rah, rah. Rah. I'm so cute. But I'm a comic, and I think of stuff. I think of things in my head. So I decided after that conversation that I would come up with the proper pickup line. If I ever find a right younger man, how would I pick up a younger man? And this is what I've decided on. I haven't used it. So don't worry, your children are safe. But you guys let me know if you think this would work. Younger man. Here we go. Hey. Do you like games? You do? Cool. Listen, I have a game for you. Yeah. It's called Pokemon. There you go. I actually have a Jigglypuff right here. We could Pikachu or whatever. I'll call you Squirtle. See, I'm listening to the people that know Pokemon and then the others who are like, what the f*** is going on? Which is a lot of you. So dirty, I apologize. You know what? It is weird. I'm a female comic. There's been a lot of female comics. You guys, give it up one more time for all the girls on the show. I love doing shows. I know Katie was talking about it. I love doing shows with all female comics. It is unusual, though. There's not a lot of us. And it's fun. But I think it's so weird to me. Because one of the barometers for being a comic is your dick jokes. Honestly, like that's what you're judged on is your dick jokes. And I honestly don't have a single dick joke in my act. I don't have any dick jokes. I don't have any dick jokes because I don't have a dick. I don't even understand the relationship you guys have with your stuff. I really don't. Like you guys, I've heard you guys like you talk to him and stuff. Like you name him, I guess, and have conversations with your thing and help him throw up in the morning. And I don't know what all goes on. I don't understand the relationship. I really don't. Like, you guys are friends with your penis. I think part of that is because you can see your stuff. You can see, and like, she and I aren't even friends. We're not on speaking terms. I have no idea. The problem is, I have no idea what I have going on down there. I really don't. I don't, I couldn't pick her out of a lineup if I had to. Is it the black one? I don't know. She's a little trampy, if I'm being honest with you. I mean, I don't like the choices she makes. We can be out somewhere, and I'll be like, oh, look at the cute boy in the sweater vest. And she's like, I like the one in the leather jacket. He looks like a dick. I know. All right. She's got this sideways way of looking at the world. So. And you can't even talk to her about this shit. She's got terrible breath. I'm so sorry. Mostly groans right here. I see you. All right.
To me. Now, I'm going to leave you guys with a portion of a piece that was written by, well, not written, but spoken by Sojourner Truth. Sojourner Truth was one of my favorite historical figures, born in 1797, 5 years after the Constitution was kind of ratified, maybe. Right? And she was born in New Amsterdam into slavery. She did not speak English for the first 9 years of her life, her present day New York. She spoke Dutch. And when she was sold into slavery and born into slavery, and when she was sold when she was nine, she spoke no English, and her masters were not friends of hers because they didn't speak any Dutch. And this woman in the 1820s finally earned her freedom. She could not read, she could not write, and yet she changed a world between 1820 and the years that she died, traveling around and speaking against slavery and for women's rights in the 1850s. And what I'm going to quote from you is just an excerpt from a speech she gave in Ohio in the 1850s. I want to say a few words about this matter. I am a woman's rights. I have as much muscle as any man, and I can do as much work as any man. I have plowed, and I have reaped, and I have husked, and chopped, and mowed. And can any man do more than that? I have heard much about the sexes being equal, and I can carry as much as any man, and can eat as much too if I can get it. I am as strong as any man that is now. As for intellect, all I can say is, if a woman have a pint, and a man have a quart, why can't her little pint be full? You need not be afraid to give us our rights for fear we will take too much, for we can't take more than our little pint will hold. The poor men seems to be all in confusion and don't know what to do. Why, children, if you have a woman's rights, give it to her, and you will feel better. And you will have your own rights, and there won't be so much trouble. I can't read, but I can hear. And I have heard the Bible, and I have learned that Eve caused man to sin. Well, if a woman upset the world, do give her a chance to set its right side up again.
If you want to help raise funds to send people to D.C. for the Women's March on Washington on January 21st, you can go to womensmarchonwashingtontx.com. There's also a link on our Facebook page to donate online. Thanks for listening. This is V, signing off and reminding everyone out there, don't hate the media. Be the media. Peace.